Ah, the Pirate Bay. Here we go.
I said no Monkey Island.
Good gosh.
Hello.
Yes.
And welcome to Disembodied Voices, episode 137 for Tuesday, August 12th, 2014. This is a video game podcast with occasional Yetis. I'm your host, Brian Kelly, and joining me today are two people, one of which is my brother, Stephen Kelly. Hello, Stephen.
Reporting for duty!
Oh, that's like you're summoning a token in Hearthstone.
That's a little Hearthstone reference for you.
Right, nice. I like it. And someone here who will not get the Hearthstone reference, Zachary Walton.
I did not get that Hearthstone reference, and I don't think I want to.
Zachary, Hearthstone is a trading card game produced by the Blizzard Entertainment Company.
All right, Zachary, I just realized right now I wanted to say like your full name with your middle name, but I'm not sure I know what your middle name is.
Okay.
What's your middle name?
My middle name would be...
I did know that. Okay. Joining us is Zachary Walton.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that now everybody knows my full name, and now people can stalk me. Okay.
I'm pretty sure they could do that before.
The middle name is the passcode to stalkers every time.
Or better yet, Stephen, just bleep out the middle name.
Okay. Wait, you got to do mine now. Do my middle names.
All right. Stephen Joseph Kelly.
Thanks.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
What a boring middle name.
I know. It's for my father.
They weren't very original with any of them. Hey, they spelled my name with a Y. I'm happy.
That's pretty good. Yes.
Enough originality there.
I
just realized most of our podcast listeners or listener maybe didn't even know my name was spelled with a Y.
What? We mention it like every other episode.
Wait, we mentioned it during the episode?
I thought.
Yeah. I mean, I know for a fact that, like, at least... In, like,
oh, yeah, we got into that naming conversation.
Yeah, no, like, a few episodes, you have actually mentioned how, like, you are, like, a better person than those who...
is probably how I phrased it,
those Bryans who are spelled with an I claim to...
It is statistically
true. Be the superior... Yeah, yes. Yes. And the superior... Yeah, I can't even talk today. Man.
That's okay, we're just podcasting.
Yeah. We are afflicted with that problem. So, video games, right? We talk about those.
Every now and then.
Every third
episode.
Hey,
where's my
days?
Best bestie, Cameron?
Oh, that's a great question, Steven. I have no idea.
Me neither.
I heard that he's going to the zoo today.
Oh, okay.
He's going to the zoo with the kangaroo.
That is literally what I said to him.
Of course.
Wow, this is actually kind of sad, actually, because I actually wanted to actually talk with him today about stuff, and now he won't be here, so he can't, and he misses out.
Oh, no. What did you want to talk to him about?
Well, it's just that, you know, I've been playing a bit of Final Fantasy VIII, and I actually sort of kind of like it now, so he would have been overjoyed to hear that.
Oh, man, he is missing out. He's been wanting you to like that game for, like, a decade or something.
Yeah, no, it actually, like, has probably been that long, because, like, when we first met, we were talking about Final Fantasies, and I mentioned that I like 7 and 9, and then he mentioned that, like, you know, he's only played 8, and then we kind of got into a, like, you know, a thing about, like, you know, why each one was great, and, like, you know, I...
Right.
With, like, you know, me having played most of them, he had only played 8, and I think that I was right, but, you know, I guess he just really likes 8 so much that he
Well, the thing about Cameron is some of his, like, formative game experiences, it's very hard to convince him that other games are better than
them. And I totally see that and totally understand that. I mean,
for sure.
You know, I definitely have tried to tell him that there are better shooters than Half-Life, but yeah.
I know!
But, you know, he won't listen to me.
Well, for years, I thought
Sonic
Adventure
2... It's not personal, he won't listen to me either. What is that, Steven?
For years, I thought Sonic Adventure 2 was the greatest game ever made, so...
Yeah, we were stupid. Wait, that implies we aren't still stupid, so... We very well may be. What is the best game of all time now, Steven?
World of Warcraft, I'm still an idiot.
That is a pretty bad opinion. But
as a
I don't
whole,
have a good answer.
As a whole, World of Warcraft is my favorite game. But yeah. I'm not going to sit here and argue that like, on a mechanical level, it is the greatest game ever made.
Because that's Hearthstone. We all know that.
Yep, that's true, actually.
Zach, if I was to give you that quiz, what is the greatest game ever made? What is your, like, gut reaction response to it?
Oh, man. Reaction. I would probably either say, like, Silent Hill 2 or Wind Waker.
Those are really different games.
Yeah.
Wind Waker is an excellent answer. I have no idea if Silent Hill 2 is a great answer. I've never played any Silent Hill game.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that we've never played a single one, and yet we don't ever seem to talk about trying one, ever.
You totally should. I would actually, like, I actually would really love it if, I mean, like, if you guys at least tried one of, well.
Sure.
Well, only, like, one through three, I think.
Is that collection, did it ever get decent?
Yeah.
The HD collection, don't ever bother with that. Just go and try to find them on the PS2 because, I mean, like, they fixed the issues with frame rate, but apparently they thought that, like, you know, with the, like, you know, more power of the PS3 allowed them to, like, you know, change some things to, like, and I mean, like, and apparently one of the things that they thought was a problem with the original games was all of the fog. Which the fog was, you know, I mean, like, the fog was there to like, you know, hide, I mean, like, to hide the load times, but, I mean, it also served a really good purpose.
Right.
Well, I mean, I see where they're coming from. You go back to your old game and you want to fix it. For example, I've been working on a big mod project to remove all those annoying pits from the original Mario Bros. The game is going to be much more playable.
I was thinking
now.
The reason they originally gave Mario his hat was because they didn't think they could animate hair. So people would just go back and say, well, now we don't need that dumb hat on Mario.
That's a great point. Why is he wearing that silly hat?
Yeah.
Oh, because he dies when he takes it off. Have you ever played Mario Sunshine?
Mario Sunshine confirms this. Yeah. His hat is magical.
Which actually also ties into Metroid because, actually the Morphball was made because back in the first Metroid, they actually couldn't figure out how to, make her crawl. So they actually just.
Really?
Yeah.
The Morphball is so much more awesome.
And can you imagine, like, in Super Smash Bros., you press down B and she just starts crawling around.
It's like you're playing a snake or something.
Oh, yeah, they did that. Oh, well. He's not going to be the next Super Smash Bros. Speaking of which, Brian, you did a really good job of saving the end of the last episode.
Thank you. I thought I did an okay job of that.
That was the one where both Zachary and I walked out to watch a not particularly interesting Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, I was actually kind of upset that, like, you know, I left and that, like, you know, this whole thing had just been hyped so much. And, like, you know, I thought that, like, you know, I personally thought that the video was, like, you know, going to give us, like, yeah, like, you know, loads of new characters, new stages, new details, and instead it was basically just like a run through of all the stuff that we've already seen, and it was just like, this is just pointless. Then why did you do this?
The end seemed to, like, load a few things, like that adventure mode they're doing,
well,
with, like, the map
right.
of Legend of Zelda. I mean, I agree that it was mostly uneventful, but I thought there were a couple neat things at the end. That adventure map looks cool. The Ganondorf looks pretty awesome.
Well, right, yeah. Like, I mean, like, you know, that stuff is okay. It's just, like, you know, did you really need to do, like, you know, like a 30-minute long thing?
Yeah, right.
No.
Right.
I think I caught the last 5 minutes, and that's all I needed to see.
I wonder if it was for people like me, though, who have been kind of interested in the game, hearing lots of the buzz about the town, but I haven't been really keeping close tabs on it. So for me, I didn't know Darunia was in the game, and I didn't know that, I didn't know about that made-up character, whatever her name is. Didn't know a lot of the No, right? It looks like the girl who'd be, like, from a Tekken story mode or something.
Yeah, Midna.
So it was kind of entertaining for me, because some of it was new, but
yeah,
overall, it was kind of weird. I don't know. Yeah. So it probably wasn't worth making Cameron so stinking angry.
Yeah, he got so mad at you, Steven, because you left without permission.
Yeah. It was
in the middle of a conversation.
It was hasty, I'll admit.
He caused a rift. Why do you think Cameron's really not here today?
I should listen to the Ents.
I don't know if he's coming back, but we'll see. We're in negotiations. The problem is currently his demands is Steven's head, and I'm not sure. I don't know. It seems a bit steep.
Well, he has been watching Game of Thrones a lot, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
You know, can we call our new podcast about Lord of the Rings that I now want to create, the Entmoot?
I actually considered naming a long time ago. I was in an IRC chat room with some people, and we were voting on names, and I voted on the Int Moose.
Oh, that would have gotten my vote.
But no, it didn't actually end up winning.
Instead, they call it the Brian Zone, spelled with an I.
Good gosh, no, but that's a great idea. I should just start an IRC chat room with that and see who joins. anyway. Oh, gosh. So, video games. Yeah, what have you been playing, Zachary?
Well, as I mentioned earlier podcast, I have mostly been devoting my time to Final Fantasy VIII past week because it's weird because, like, over the past 10 years, I have actually tried to play this game about, like, 8 different times. I usually get to, like, the end of the first disc, and then I just, like, give up because I can't stand it, like, anymore, because the gameplay is just kind of meh, the systems are stupid and boring, because, like, it's more
that
like...
That sounds like me with almost any JRPG.
Yeah, like, it's just more or less, like, the whole system is, like, too reliant on, like, on the summons, and, like, so basically that means that, like, you know, most fights, you can summon, like, you know, these, like, you know, big impressive monsters, but the thing is, in Final Fantasy, summons are usually meant to be kind of like, you know, kind of like the trump card kind of thing, which you use. And
super attack.
Yeah. And, I mean, like, you know, and usually the video for them is, like, you know, 5 minutes long, and, like, you know, it makes sense in that sense. But in 8, you're kind of, expected to use these, like, you know, every battle. And so it gets like, really, like, annoying watching them come in every single time.
Right. And you can't skip animations? Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, it kind of seems like taking the, eating your dessert first for every meal or something. Like, that's
why Cameron likes it.
Oh!
It's just like that you love seeing the cool animations over and over again.
Okay, I guess that does explain it.
But
that's interesting.
But I have found myself enjoying it a lot more this time around, though. Not because, like, the game is, like, any better, but because the version that's on the PC, the Steam version, they have added a number of, like, official cheat modes into it that make the game really funny for me. That I just can't stop playing because I find it to be ridiculously funny. Like, there is a cheat that allows it, like, that allows all attacks to do max damage.
Whoa.
Every time. And
So who needs summons?
So I'm just, like, one-shotting, like, all the bosses. And
oh my gosh, you'd be making Cameron so angry right now.
It makes me laugh so much every time.
Oh, man. What are the characters in that one?
Squall, Noah, Zell, Irvin, Quist. They're all dumb.
Squall is a pretty terrible name. Is that like a bird?
Squall is a storm on the sea.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, they're like, you know, dumb name. Actually, his whole name is Squall Lionheart.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a really dumb name. Actually, like, the thing is that, like, I don't like this game because, like, its fans always talk about it as it's, like, as it's this, like, really deep, fans always call it, like, it's most, like, well, for them, it's the most emotional Final Fantasy game because, you know, like, because, like, it begins to, like, become, like, a love story, I guess, halfway through the game.
Yeah, I remember.
But, like, Squall is such an unlikable, emotionless twat that I cannot like him at all.
This, again, sounds like me with most
RPGs. Yeah, this is really sounding familiar.
Well,
didn't you
that's really interesting. It's like the opinion I normally come to the podcast
Chronicles.
With.
The thing is, like, you know, most of the characters that you see in, like, most games like this, they at least are, like, you know, written in a way that, like, you know, they're trying to make you like him,
Very true.
Even if the writing is flat and boring,
yes,
they at least are, like, you know, the game at least allowed me, like, you know, went in with the idea that, like, you know, that they want players to like these characters. Whereas in Squall, it's so incredibly unlikable. I actually can't fathom that they were actually, that they actually wanted people to like him. Case in point, within the first, 5 hours, everything said to him, he basically is just like, and so he either says, that he doesn't care, or he just, waves them off as if all the people around him who, obviously kind of care about him, he just doesn't care. And
this is starting to sound a lot like Anakin Skywalker.
Oh, gosh,
and
you're right.
At one point, one of the characters, she's wanting to, talk to him, and she tells him, that she doesn't want him to talk, she just wants him to listen, and then, to which he tells her to go talk to a wall. And I'm just like, you are the most unlikable person I've ever met. Just go die already.
Are all of his party members, getting fed up with him, or are they just Squall?
They basically just, love interest for him is always trying to be cheerful and always trying to cheer him up. She never actually questions him when he is a giant jerk. She more or less just doubles up on her yay fun times thing around him. And
gosh,
that sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's not fun. All the characters are just the worst. And Cameron will always tell me that he was telling me to at least get to the third disc when things get really good, and so I'm at least going to give him that now.
Well, unlikable protagonist to an extreme degree, Kalos from Baton Katos, or however you pronounce that, but they had a good reason for it. Plot twist, spoilery thing happens. I don't know if you ever got that part.
I haven't, because I actually just bought that game last month for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah,
that's another one that, if you care about the story, keep going at least to that kind of halfway point, because big stuff happens, and it's really interesting. But
I've never seen it happen in a game.
I would be interested to hear Cameron's defense of this. It might just be wait until disc 3. How close are you to that?
I actually got further than I did during all my previous times, and now I think halfway through disc 2. I kind of like it now for the overarching plot. The characters still suck, but it's getting weird, and I do like it when games get weird.
That you do.
So, I at least like it because it's doing things that I wouldn't expect this game to be doing, so I mean, I like it for that, but the characters and the systems and everything like that are still just, kind of trash, so.
Have you played all the Final Fantasy, core Final Fantasy games?
The only one that I haven't put any, real amount of time into is 2. I played a bit of 2,
of a lame one,
but I haven't played a lot of it. But 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,
would you agree
12.
That 14 is the best?
I wouldn't agree with that, but say that 14 is really good, and I've not played it in a month. I really need to get back to it. I still say that 9 is probably the best in my opinion, but
I think Brian and I are going to have a real hard time forcing ourselves to go past 6, which is where we stopped.
Right.
I think we're just getting worn out and beaten down from just not liking all the Japanese RPGs, to be perfectly honest. Although, hey, I loved Bravely Default, and that was a very recent game. So,
right, yeah, and I mean, from what I've been hearing on the tweets, at least Brian likes a sort of recent game in the JRPG family.
Yeah, Brian, what are your thoughts on Ni No Kuni?
Ni No Kuni?
Ni No Kuni.
Ni No Kuni.
Yeah, say it like me when my voice cracks at the end. Ni No Kuni.
Ni No Kuni. You're on the verge of tears talking about this game.
It's another world.
Yeah, Ni No Kuni, I'm not currently playing through it now. I made it maybe like five.
Yeah. We got into the little birthday jingle. It's a birthday game. It's a birthday game. I got it for my birthday.
Wait, have you been like editing that into all episodes?
Haven't you guys been listening?
I've not heard this.
No, that's actually a new thing, but now it's too late.
All right. Anyway, I'm not playing through it now because we have a lot of other games to get through, and it was kind of falling into the JRPG grind, and I find it tough getting far into those. But from what I played of the like 4 or 5 hours we did play, I'm not sold on the combat system yet, and I'm not sold on like the flow of it yet because it's very much like a traditional JRPG town dungeon kind of a grind. But I absolutely love the music and the visuals and the feeling of that game. Like, if that was a Zelda game with all of that, I would just play through it to the end, no questions asked. That is just so delightful, especially, I was really surprised how good the voice acting was.
Yep.
The, like, English voice acting. Mm-hmm. Mr. Drippy is one of, like, my favorite, voices for a, game character in a very long time.
One of the best intros for a game character in a very long time.
Yeah, he just like came out of nowhere and started berating the kid for crying about his dead mother. It was just like completely caught you off guard. And he talked so fast. And in a weird way, and also kind of surprising. I don't know if heartwarming is the right way to put it, but you're probably being sarcastic.
Kind of.
And how they like did the huge info dump. With him just rushing through it all. Like, he's self-aware in a certain way that JRPG characters often aren't. So I really enjoyed that, and it, oh my gosh, does it look pretty. Did you ever, like, make it through the whole game, Zach?
Oh, yeah.
What did you think of it?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's probably the best JRPG of last year.
Yeah, I would totally...
It was so charming to a fault, but...
To a fault, really, though?
But that fault became a giant earthquake of just pure joy and delight.
And that cat kingdom with like everyone is doing cat puns and then all the birds are doing bird puns. It's just awesome.
Indeed, your majesty. We must go to the Cottermaster.
That's a perfectly good idea.
I know, yeah. Isn't it?
Anyway, it was a lot to swallow, but all right, anyway. Something I have a question is for the combat system. I was, when we stopped, I was having a lot of difficulty like figuring out the flow of it. Like, how important did you find it to counter enemy attacks?
Oh,
like,
man.
You could do that interruption thing where like your thing would flash blue and you attack them at the right timing.
Right.
Did you find that difficult?
Let's see here. It's been a while. As far as I can remember, like, I think that I use that quite often. Like, the weird thing is that, like, you know, I actually do, like, recall hearing people, like, you know, saying that the combat was, like, you know, hard to get into and was, like, you know, kind of confusing. Like, I never had that problem. It's weird. Like, I kind of just, like, slipped into it and, like, never had a problem throughout the entire game. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure that I got a game over, like, once throughout my entire time through it. But also that might have been due to, since I had pre-ordered it, I actually got a, like, bonus, like, DLC, like, monster or whatever. A griffin that was, like, game-breakingly powerful. So I kind of just, like, coasted through most of the game with him.
Okay. Yeah, it's actually pretty difficult so far, which surprised me.
Yeah.
It was an easier mode to do it on, but I went...
One thing that I will say, though, is that don't fall into the trap that like, you know, some people fall into, is that they, like, you know, try to, like, they actually try to, like, evolve all their monsters at once, and that's a really bad idea.
Oh, the Pokemon syndrome, yep.
Like, because, I mean, in this game, So once you evolve them, they actually go back to level one. And, like, you know, being, a late stage area with only level one monsters is actually a really bad idea and leaves you open to just dying over it. Yeah, it's just...
I was surprised to see how easy it was to die. When we got to the desert, I think we died 5 times in a row because we couldn't figure
well,
out how to play the game.
Well, I was testing out a lot of stuff. But
yeah, but because we couldn't figure out how to play the game. I thought it was just going to be a cakewalk or something.
Right.
It had a lot of complexity to it, for sure. We stopped like right when we got the second party members, so the complexity was really jumping up.
That's actually, guys, I think, like, something that I do remember hearing when the game did come out is that, like, you know, a lot of people bought the game for, like, you know, family members who may not, like, you know, really like games.
Uh-huh. But it felt like an introduction to JRPGs at first.
Yeah. But that game is actually pretty brutal.
Yeah. It's like, whoa, I thought this was going to be nice. It's killing me.
Yeah.
And they've got nice, happy story mode. Don't worry about it. Mode.
Good point. They have easy mode. Yeah.
But no one chooses that. Easy mode is actually not what it says.
Really?
Easy mode is actually still pretty hard.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. Then we'll never beat it.
Wow. But yeah, it's been, I love like the fully animated cutscenes when those pop in. Those are super neat. And I really need to buy that soundtrack. Have you looked into it yet, Steven? Is it widely available?
Yeah, it's just on Amazon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, MP3, whatever you want.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
I own one track from Train Station. I needed to use it.
Good gosh, was it good, though.
Wonderful, wonderful music. Yes.
Yep. All right. Let's see.
Hey,
what
speaking
else?
Of music, Zach, have you ever listened to the Ragnarok Online soundtrack?
No.
It's apparently like kind of beloved and classic and stuff. And I bought a physical copy of it a few weeks back. I'm listening through it, and it's really weird because I don't know if the game is any good, but like, it jumps genres constantly. And it's like this 4 CD pack of dozens and dozens of tracks, so it's kind of amazing. I recommend looking into it.
Okay, cool. Huh. Yeah, no, I mean, like, I know that, like, I really, like, had no, like, desire to play the game, but yeah, I mean, like, if music is good, though.
Well, that was back when you hated MMOs, though.
Well, it seems like it's the Japanese version of RuneScape, kind
of.
Oh,
God.
Yeah.
So, I don't...
Never mind.
I'm not going to recommend you buy the game, but the music's nice.
Better than RuneScape's music, we can probably say.
I don't really remember RuneScape's music, so
exactly.
Probably. Yeah.
Do you still play Final Fantasy XIV, Zach?
He hasn't played it in a month.
Oh, I didn't know if we... Yeah, did we cover that? Okay.
But I mean, I would like to play it, but, I mean, I just haven't, like, had the itch to play it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, I guess because, like, for me, when I play it, it more or less is, like, you know, it's like, you know, like, I get the itch to play it, and then I go in and play it, like, you know, nonstop for, like, you know, for, like, 2 weeks, and then I get my fill of it, and, you know, and then I go back and, like, you know, play other stuff for, like, you know, a month or so,
yeah.
And then go back.
That's
to
how
it.
I played WoW for a long time, for
oh,
sure.
Yes.
It's really easy to get super involved in those games, but if you're constantly super involved with them, it wears a little thin. What about... Oh, Steven, interesting fact. Ragnarok Online 2 came out last year.
What? Yep. There's a sequel?
There is a sequel.
What is the music like?
It's a Legend of the Second is the name of the game.
That's a bad name, but I wonder what the music is like.
I have no idea.
You're right. Here it is. Let's see. I'm only going to go listen to this.
It's almost a year-long anniversary.
Hmm.
Wait. Well, for Indonesia.
I was about to say, what?
For Indonesia. That's how I do all my game dates, Steven. Jeez.
Oh.
Isn't that industry standard?
I'm listening to the intro screen.
Yoko Kanno is the composer.
Oh, wow. That's actually, kind of a big deal.
She did not do Ragnarok Online 1, but she did Cowboy Bebop, which was... Yeah.
Yeah, no, like, she actually is the leader of a band called The Seatbelts.
Okay.
And they are, like, a jazz punk, like... they're like a jazz punk, like, fusion band out of Japan, and they
interesting,
are...
Yeah, and
they are very
it
famous.
It looks like she's... That is cool. It looks like she's new for the series, so... There you go, Steven.
Really weird to actually like see her doing game music, considering that like, because like I don't know, like I guess that like she like you know stopped doing like, you know, rather it seemed that she stopped doing music for like being like for properties like a few years ago and just focused solely on her band. But I guess.
Looking at her stuff here, she did Kids on the Slope, the soundtrack for that.
Well, that makes sense.
Oh, okay.
Considering that is jazz, as well as that was the director of Cowboy Bebop, so.
And wait, yep. And she's doing Ragnarok 2?
Yeah.
Oh, where do I buy this soundtrack?
She did something for Ghost in the Shell.
I was gonna, that's amazing. You said she did anime, and I was just gonna joke, you know, be the ignorant anime guy saying, did she do Ghost in a Shell? That's the only anime I know.
In the shell.
Wow. This is all great news.
Yep.
Except that I can't find an official place to buy the soundtrack.
Then that means you can go get it for free. Guilt-free.
I like to buy it though.
Guilt free. All right, that's rad. I have not heard any of her stuff, but she is a skilled keyboardist and is the front woman of the Seatbelts. Yep, Zach, you were correct. That's a great band name.
90 tracks for Ragnarok Online 2. That's going to be another four disker.
Sounds like it might even be better than Ragnarok Online. One thing I've heard about Cowboy Bebop is that the music is fantastic.
I watched the trailer and I agree with that.
I've heard most of the soundtrack. Yeah, I mean, it is super good.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's probably, like, its most standout, like... Yeah, I mean, like, the thing is, like, you know, most anime fans, okay, not most, actually, a lot of them still actually really like that show, but, you know, us elitists typically don't particularly like it as much anymore because it just got so popular that, like, I guess, like, the joy of watching it was kind of sucked from it a little bit.
Gosh darn it, Zach.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean,
it
like...
It shouldn't make it worse.
Yeah, like, it's weird because, like, I actually, like, do like Cowboy Bebop, but, I mean...
Cool.
It's just, like, when you go to, like, you know, cons and stuff like that, you just see so much of it that, like, you know, it's
so
just...
It's like Death Note.
Yeah, and, I mean, like, it's just kind of, like... I guess it's just like the impact that it, like, you know, like it had on me when I was like, back when I was like, just starting to get into anime, it is lessened, I guess, when everybody else is now getting into it. And like, instead of, I guess, like me where like, you know, I moved on and began to like, you know, see other things. I mean, like, you know, like, other people just, like, can kind of just, like, stick with that and don't move anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess I can understand that.
It came out in 2000. No, it didn't.
What?
Okay,
no.
It came out
whenever an anime focuses on music, though, that, it probably has a much higher chance of me liking it. Because
right.
I just really like how the Japanese handle music in general, from video games and, you know,
right, yeah.
And anime as well. And so that's one of the main reasons I want to see Bebop.
Yeah.
Like Cowboy Bebop. They don't call it Cowboy Bebop because of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle character, I don't think.
No.
Even though he was in an anime.
Yeah, that is, yeah, no, like, that director, Shinichiro Watanabe, he basically, like, likes to, like, mash up, like, genres into where, like, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, like, into where, like, he, I mean, like, into where, like, he takes, like, a genre of film and then mashes it with a genre of like, music that, and, like, you know, like, which normally wouldn't work together, and then he makes them work. Like, Bebop is, like, you know, sci-fi with jazz.
Yeah.
Right.
And then Samurai Champloo is, like, I mean, like, you know, like, is, like, a samurai film mashed up with hip-hop.
Oh, you're right. That's a good point. I know about anime.
I thought that was what Afro Samurai was.
That was more of a blaxploitation samurai film.
Okay, gotcha. So...
Well, speaking of Bebop...
Oh, were the games for Bebop any good?
What?
They're apparently...
Oh, there were games?
Yeah, there were...
Probably not.
There were a number of games, and no, they're not. Like,
okay.
Most games based off of anime are usually pretty terrible, and it's a little sad.
Gotcha. Steven, you were saying something.
Well, I had some questions about Bebop.
Okay.
All right.
First of all, why does he have a mohawk that's purple if he just has fur?
What?
What?
Oh, gosh.
Oh,
like, is he just growing his fur out really tall?
You're talking about Ninja Turtles, okay. I thought you were talking about somebody in my Bebop, and I was like, wait a second, what?
And beyond that, he has turtle shells strapped to his shoulders. I guess they're just from normal turtles. Does that disturb the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? They never seem to mind. Are those turtle shells?
I think that you're asking for, like, a bit too much right now from us, Steven.
Also,
It's not addressed in the anime, so Zach cannot answer your question.
The real question is, who is a badder dude between Bebop and Rocksteady?
Rocksteady.
Yeah, you're probably right. Okay, well, he solved one. I'm done.
All right. What else have you been playing, Zach?
I don't know how I've been playing. I played a bit of, what is it? Final Fantasy VII on the PC as well, just to, I guess.
Contrast.
Yeah, like, I was just, like, you know, seeing them, like, you know, back to back, seeing, like, you know, how things work. And I know VII is a better game, like, hands down, like, pretty much, like, you know, like, I mean, like, I mean, like, you know, which is weird because, like, you know, VII got actually, like, a pretty bad, like, the translation move was actually pretty terrible for VII. But even with that, like, the characters still shine through more than the better translated 8 does.
Interesting.
And 7 is just, like, more charming, I guess, because, like, it's... Because, like, while it, like, you know, has a lot of the trappings of the genre in terms of, like, you know, all of the, like, you know, world is doomed, you know, and like, you know, a bunch of heroes rise up, you know, the usual stuff. Like, it still has, like, this really weird sense of humor that, like, you don't really see in a lot of JRPGs these days. Like, in one section of 7, you're actually forced to cross-dress Cloud to sneak into a mansion where the Don of the Slums is at, and he only wants to see women. And you can either send in one of your two women party members, or you can actually get Cloud to dress up as a woman, and, I mean, like, and go in and actually get, like, this really awkward, funny scene of the Don trying to, like, you know, get Cloud in bed. And it's really funny, and it's just kind of off-the-wall kind of humor that, like, in which, like, I mean, like, you know, which was rare in games back in 97, and is still, I think, pretty rare still, though.
Well, and Squall would just refuse to do it.
Squall would just be like,
no.
Yeah, pretty. Squall would probably just, like, you know.
Go cross-dress a brick wall.
he would just probably, like, you know, have his... That's actually the main... That actually, like, the main issue with Squall is that, like, he thinks too much. Like, it's like... when somebody says something to him, you see, like, tons of text flowing from him, but they are all his thoughts. And then
so everything he thinks is just spewing out in text, and no one can stop the floodgates.
Pretty much, but then, like, you know, like, when he actually talks to somebody, he usually just, like, you know, I mean, like, you know, he will usually just say, like, you know, like, I mean, like, I mean, like, he'll just say that he doesn't care or know or something like that. Yet, like, you know, yet before that, he would just have this, like, spewing of, like, all these thoughts, which would actually make him kind of a, like, you know, good character if he actually voiced these thoughts. But he never does. And I guess they're, so. I mean, like, I guess they're trying to, like, you know, go with the thought, you know, because, like, you know, one of the common things they do is that, like, you know, Squall is just not good at, or he's not very good at, like, expressing his thoughts. And I mean, like, you know,
yeah.
That works, except that it just is kind of annoying when, like, you know, when things are, like, you know, at like a very, like, you know, critical point in the plot, he is still just thinking about things instead of actually saying them.
That's interesting. I don't think I've seen a JRPG do that before.
I mean, there are certainly JRPGs that will let your character monologue in his head a lot.
That's
but
true.
I feel like those thoughts are never really worth hearing in general.
I need to save the world for Father's memory. All right. Yeah. Okay, other quick question, Zach. If I was to ask you, just off the cuff, what is the best JRPG plot you've ever witnessed?
That would probably be Trails in the Sky.
I was hoping you were going to say Trails in the Sky.
Oh, interesting. Steven, you would say Fire Emblem Path of Radiance.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Trails in the Sky. It's more of a strategy RPG, I guess,
yeah.
But it's a Japanese game with
is
RPG in it.
Is that
so.
The game that's on the GameCube?
Yes, it is.
I have actually been watching that game being played by my friend in my room over the past, like, 2 weeks.
Oh.
And I kind of know what's going on. And, I mean, it's interesting, like, but all I've really taken from it so far, though, is that, like, in the pirate mission, when you save that girl on the flying horse, she with her saying, like, crackers just makes me laugh, like, it's just, like, all the time. And
yep.
I've been watching him play it, but I've not been able to see, like, a lot of it, because he plays it on hard, and if he messes up once, he just, like, restarts, so I have watched him, like, restart battles, like, you know, over and over again.
Yeah. One really cool thing that game does is kind of similar to, like, a Vesperia or something. There are a lot of skits and conversations you can do between missions, and not just with your main character talking to the different party members, but you can, like, build up relationships between your different party members. So you can have one person start having, like, this conversation plot thread with another person, and then their stats are stronger when they're fighting next to each other on the battlefield. So there's, like, tons of different little stories and different character arcs going on between all the different characters in your party, which really adds a lot of texture.
What's really cool about Fire Emblem is how you don't just have, like, a party of a few characters who get to know each other. It's an army that is slowly being built up over the game. So by the end, you have a whole room, a barracks full of individual people, all of which are really, really well written and down to earth and interesting. And they all talk to each other. So
it's really neat.
Really, I don't know. I've never played another game that did that.
I mean, I think other strategy RPGs do, maybe.
I guess. With that many all having their own individual personalities,
I'm not positive
that can talk to each other. I don't know. I've never seen it, but I'd like to play more. So I guess we should play Trails in the Skies at least.
You're not going to see, like, you know, that level of, like, you know, having a, like, you know, whole group of people. I mean, like, the story is mostly focused on just, like, you know, the two main characters, but, like, their plot. I mean, like, I hate to, like, you know, say things like this because I know that, like, you know, I'll say it and then Steven will play it and then come back and, like, you know, say that I'm wrong. But,
I
mean, I will say that, like, at least in the sky, at least the first part, like, it probably has the best written, like, romance I have seen, like in a game ever. Because, like, most games do romance, like, very, like, off the cuff. Like,
this is better than Mass Effect?
They play it very fast and loose. It basically is just like, you know, oh, I love you. I love you, too. Let's have sex. Like, that's how games do it. And it's like, ah!
Well, you're forgetting that there's usually, like, a yes-no.
Well, sure, but
the dialogue tree.
That makes it deep.
It's just, like, it's just so frustrating that, like, you know.
Yeah.
That we have, like, all these developers talking about how they want to, like, you know, have, like, you know, love, romance, and sex in games, and, like, you know, play it nice and everything, but they just can't write it at all.
Yeah.
No.
They are so bad at it. Trails plays it, like, really as if, like, I mean, like, you know, Trails plays it in a way that, like, you know, in which you would expect a romance to play out, in that it's slow, it takes time, and people have to, like, you know, get to know. I mean, like, It's very much like, you know, it's one of those kind of, like, you know, romances that you, like, you know, hear from people who fall in love, I mean, like, you know, during school. They're, like, you know, friends for, like, you know, years until they actually, I mean, like, you know, like, until they realize that, that they actually did have feelings. And, like, you know, it takes time and, like, like, it's just, it's just. Like, it's just a refreshing bit of, like, you know, romance writing in games compared to all the other games which are trying to do, like, you know, love and romance and failing miserably every time.
Can you think of any Western developed game that had a good romance plot in it?
Gears of War 2? No, sorry. That's a joke.
Like, they have some great character relationships. The Last of Us was amazing, but it was not a romance.
Right, yeah.
Similar,
I mean, like, truly, like, good or enjoyable, or you mean truly, like, great?
We'll say very good.
I quite like Nathan Drake's Always Almost But Not Quite
It's very Indiana Jones.
Like, yeah.
Fun.
It's like, this time it's Chloe. Last time it was Elena. What's going to be the next one?
And it went back to Elena. I mean, that wasn't bad, but it was very just, you know, action movie.
Yeah, that actually was kind of lame. I think the very telling about this subject is that when I see, like a main character and a secondary main character who are the opposite genders, I'm always relieved when they don't fall in love. I'm like, that's so forward-thinking and non-tropish of you to have these characters working together side by side who are not attracted to each other just because they're protagonists. Well,
one problem is a lot of story-focused Western games are either extremely action-focused, so they don't really have time for any character relations.
Right.
I don't think that's the correct term. Example, shooters.
EG is what you're looking for.
EG, there you go. Or they're very choice-based, like Western RPGs.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's really hard to do a convincing relationship with dialogue trees.
Is generalization. Is Master Chief in love with Cortana? Because that's a great one.
From what I have played of 4, it certainly seems that way.
Then I love that one.
Yep, that's...
Although it's a little odd, I guess.
That's a pretty good one.
I have always loved the unique relationship between Sonic the Hedgehog and Amy Rose. The dialogue is so... Like, in Sonic CD, when she was all like, help! And then Sonic's
this is a Western game, Steven.
I'm sorry.
Steven may have a leg to stand on, though, when Sonic Boom comes out later this year, because, you know, that is a Western-developed Sonic game, and Amy is in it.
You're right! And Amy's now a strong, independent character. That's what they're saying.
With a hammer.
With a hammer.
Oh, man, I don't think I can think of one example.
This is silly. There's gotta be just one great romantic plot in a Western-developed game.
Like,
Open my stinking Steam list or something.
You're not gonna find it on Steam.
Why not?
Like... I don't know.
Man, you're right. They're all just kidnapped. That's all it is.
It's been inspiring how much Cameron loves Minecraft.
What?
So that's the best.
Oh, well, that's true. Cameron does have feelings for Minecraft.
I don't know.
It's weird because, like, I guess, like, the most, like, recent, like, example that I can think of in a Western game would actually be in Metro Last Light.
I've not seen that.
Its romance subplot comes out of nowhere and is just there for like 5 minutes and then just is like, and then it's just like, I mean, like, and then it's just like never spoken of like again. It basically is
and
like,
that's
you know,
good?
It basic, no, like, I'm just saying that like, you know, the last game that had like, you know, that had like a, like, you know, like, I mean, like, that had like, you know, some kind of like romance subplot thrown into it. And I guess, like, you know, just saying that like, you know, when they try, it usually is pretty terrible. Because, like, she shows up, she talks about how, like, you know, how, like, she knew him from, like, you know, back in the past, how she has loved him. He says that he loves her. They have sex. He wakes up. He leaves and goes kill some monsters. The end.
That's horrible.
That's very video gamey.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about
To the Moon?
I
didn't know if there was a love plot.
I don't want to... It's hard to call that a romance, because...
Yeah.
Like, it's so... Because, like...
Spoilers! Actually, I don't know if you're spoiling anything.
Like,
go ahead.
At one point, you think that, like, you know, it's like... I mean, it's set up for you to think that the game, like, you know, is about the romance between these two characters, and then that is, like, you know, pulled out from under you. And like, you know, just seeing his, like, you know, true, like, intentions, and, like, it ceases being, like, a romance, and more of, I guess, in terms of, like, I guess more of, like, a study into, like, you know, I guess, like, why people get married sometimes, why people, whenever they claim to be in love, aren't really in love, and they're doing it for, like, you know, something else, something,
it was an
like,
extremely,
really selfish reasons.
It was an extremely good story about love, but it wasn't, like, a falling in love plot.
Right.
If you know what I mean. Like, the themes, okay. Perhaps. Okay, but here we go, guys. I just found the top 10 greatest video game romances on cheatcodecentral.com. So,
is
good
Monkey
news.
Island in there?
First one on the page is Master Chief or Cortana. So.
Alright. Was this list written by, like, some, like, you know, 14-year-old kid?
I think he's 16
who,
at least.
Who thinks he knows what, like, you know, love is. Okay, but yeah, please
what
continue.
Max
love.
Payne and Mona Sachs.
That is not a romance. That was a tragedy.
It says there's drama, blah, 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 they're short-lived. It's tragic. You're right.
Yeah,
tragedy.
Yeah, no, it more or less is, I mean, like, if anything, it's more of, like, I guess, like, the romance that you would see in a Shakespearean tragedy.
Oh, wait, where, here we go.
But, okay, yeah.
This here's a really good one. Guybrush Threepwood and Elaine
I
Marley.
I said no Monkey Island!
But I was looking up this website. I guess I wasn't listening. Sorry.
That was hilarious. I said Monkey Island better not be on there.
Oh.
To start this out.
Well, it is.
Keep going.
That's all.
What? Three?
I mean, there was also Elena and Nathan.
Oh my, you're
and
kidding me.
And then a bunch
me.
Of Japanese games.
You're kidding me.
No.
Oh,
and then a bunch of Japanese games. Let me guess. That would be Final Fantasy VIII, The Last Story. What?
Wait. There was, Zelda and Link, which.
What?
It isn't even really a romance at all. Oh, Ico and Yorta, if you call that a romance, that was an amazing relationship.
That is not a romance at all. Okay, so here is the top 25 most... These are the most, like... These are apparently the most, like, realistic game romances.
Oh, good. That's what we're looking for.
All right. 25 is Half-Life 2. Alex Vance and Gordon Freeman. 24 is Alan Wake.
I thought
okay,
of that
okay.
one, but
Alan
that's...
Wake had a good existing relationship
right.
between two characters.
But the actual plot of the game was your wife is kidnapped. That's not breaking
but
new
they
ground.
They had a realistic existing romantic relationship.
It was a realistic existing minutes. Romantic relationship that only played out in flashbacks.
And then, of course, one of the best on here is just The Sims.
That's so true. I could tell you some stories. Oh, man.
Okay.
Uncharted.
Oh my gosh.
Covered it.
Sleeping Dogs.
No
I don't
idea.
Know. Maybe so.
Red Dead.
No idea. Again.
I don't really remember that being...
Silent Hill 2. That was not a romance. That was a man going down deep, dark places thanks to, like, love and lust. That is not a romance.
Sounds like a romance to me.
No,
really. I don't know what that plot was.
Yeah, and Mass Effect, of course. And that Dragon Age.
Dragon Age? It's good, but you kind of get to make up your own character, so it's really hard to say.
The Prince of Persia, the reboot, the one back in 08, the self-hated reboot of Prince of Persia.
Okay. That actually was amazing. I really liked those two characters. There wasn't a ton of romance.
And that was an example of, like, it developing through a lot of different conversations.
Right.
Like,
they would argue, they would try to work together. They weren't just, like, in love the whole time. That wasn't the point of the game. It only at the very end did they kind of get serious.
That was a pretty good one. That was the best we've mentioned.
And then Plumbers Don't Wear Ties, if you remember that game.
No.
I'm afraid not.
Plumbers Don't Wear Ties is like a rom-com that was released on the CDI that had, like, all, like, live-action, like, video footage where you would just make choices every once in a while and just, and basically just watch this, like, really bad rom-com play out.
Oh, here's one we forgot. Dragon's Lair. And Leisure Suit Larry. We're forgetting the
How
best
are we forgetting
here.
Blizzard is amazing. What about what's her
Kerrigan
name?
Rainer?
Kerrigan, yeah.
It's a beautiful story about Kerrigan and Rayner.
This is Jimmy.
This is Jimmy. Tyrande and Malfurion.
Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wed wife? This is Jimmy. Okay, I think that's a yes.
I don't know. I don't know if the WoW books were any good at any of that.
What, World of Warcraft?
Yeah.
I mean,
there's a big, like, love triangle with Malfurion, Tyrande.
It's not, like, good. But I like it.
All right.
Oh, well. I guess they're sure.
Well, something we could, that people could definitely improve on has, I'm sure Extra Credits has done an episode on this. But I'm really curious.
Yeah. Now. I'm going to look it up later.
Let's see. Apparently, they actually, put Catherine on here as being one of the best roles. Which, I guess, like, as far as romance goes, it actually is kind of, like, realistic, I guess. I mean, I guess as far as, like, the temptations facing man,
it seems like another one of those almost Silent Hill style where it's like, this is the psychology and realities of a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
Not really a story about two people who are in love.
That's essentially what that is.
Yeah.
And the Persona 4, they say is a romance, but I'm like, it more or less is just saying what they want to hear, and then you just, like, you know, raise up the social link level, and then you can choose to go out with them or not. That's it. Like, that's not really a romance. That's just more or less, like, you know,
it's a gameplay system.
Yeah. And then Dinner Date is the game where your dinner date, he doesn't show up.
Okay.
And then a last one is Passage, which I have not played.
I don't even know what that game is.
Apparently, I mean, like, I actually remember hearing about it, like, about, like, 4 years ago, but I actually never played it. It was a game made during the 48K challenge, which is, like, a game jam challenge, which, I guess, like, the thing asked devs to create a game that is smaller than 48 kilobytes in size.
Wait, that's sounding a little bit more familiar now.
And it was kind of like the big game which came out of that challenge, like, you know, like 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay. That's interesting.
So it looks like Extra Credits has actually never done an episode on romance in games. There was recently a podcast from the Extra Credits Network, but, like, James isn't on it or anything. It's just other people.
To be honest...
Okay, wait, they've done one on sex in games, but that's...
Well, yeah. That's an entirely different thing that welcomes a lot of things, including, like, you know, stuff from visual novels, which, I mean, I actually think that, like, you know, romance is done frequently well in those, but most people don't want to, like, you know, call those games for some reason.
Well, most people don't want to call Gone Home games a game either. So it's a weird thing because there's no, like, gameplay to them. I don't know. It's very odd. I have actually never played a visual... Okay, now there's a question, and I know I've asked you this before, Zach.
Mm-hmm.
For, like, visual novels as a medium and so on, what do you recommend is, like, the best way to understand the medium of it, if not the...
Right, yeah.
Grizzly details.
Right, yeah. I mean, like, there are a lot of, like, really good ones that I could, like, you know, tell you to play. It's just that a lot of them also do have sex in them.
One that I thought was very similar to a visual novel in a lot of ways, except to add adventure gameplay onto it, was, like, Hotel Dusk.
Right, right, yeah. I mean, like...
I love that.
A good one like that, I guess, that... Which actually, I mean, like, you know, add some gameplay onto it, I would say, like, you know, would be stuff like 999 on the DS. Say,
yeah, I should try that one. That's it. 999, and then what was the next one?
Richard's Last Reward? Yes. And then there's also... what's it? Like Danganronpa on the Vita. If you ever get a Vita, like,
I've heard about that one as well.
That's, that's actually really good as far. But, like, you know, those are, like, you know, more, I guess, in the, those, like, you know, fall more into, like, those fall more into, like, the mystery thriller, you know, side of the ends.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, romance is usually, like, you know, not, you know, what they're going for. Whereas,
so are, like, are pretty much, is visual novels as a genre pretty much mean a romance game, or is that like a very large subcategory of the game?
That is just like, you know, one of the categories. I mean, like, you know, most of them are based, I mean, like, you know, based around that sense, like, you know, most people who play them are usually like, you know, like 18 through 35 year old males. And so, like, uh-huh. you know, most of them are basically like, you know, the dating sim, if you will. I really hate that term, but I mean, uh-huh. like, you know, that is simply what they are, though. It's just like, you know, you as the male in the story are trying to, like, you know, a number of females, and it's your job to get one of them to fall in love with you.
Yes.
And
they're
all
essentially exactly like Spring from the Nintendo DS.
Excuse me, Sprung.
Sprung. Dang it! I forgot about this game.
Because Sprung is one of my favorite titles ever for a game.
That was such a dumb game.
That is interesting. So what is your favorite that you've ever played?
Oh, man.
Lots of these questions tonight.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's fine. Well, actually, right now, I'm actually right now playing through like Kira Kira, which I actually really like. It's been fun. It's definitely up there in my favorites. That is essentially a bunch of friends start a band, and it's essentially just like, you know, I guess like you forming the relationships with your band members as they, like, you know, go mm-hmm. through high school, and then they leave high school and the band breaks up and stuff, you know, and it's pretty good. It also made me cry last night, so, you know, there's that.
Aw, that actually sounds... games can't do that super often.
Yeah,
so
like, it was... Because a lot of VNs, like, when it comes to, like, the romance stuff, they for some reason, like to, like, do terrible things to the heroine to, like, you know, break down the main character. And, like, it's just, which I mean, like, you know, you're meant to embody that main character, and so, like, you know, you kind of feel what they're feeling. And, I mean, when shocking unfair things happen to good people, which is usually what happens in these games, you just start crying because it's just so unfair.
That was, like, all of The Last of Us.
The Last of Us is a visual novel. It would be interesting.
There have been stuff like that, yeah. No, there have been a few visual novels that take place in a, like...
In zombie apocalypses? Yeah. Interesting. The zombie just comes up to you and... 10 screens of just moaning.
Nothing quite like that, but...
Okay. All right. Man, now I really want to write a visual novel.
I actually will say, though, that I've not played a lot of it, but I actually can say that, like, you would probably like Steins Gate, and that is actually an all-ages game.
I've heard about that one, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's all-ages in the sense that there is no sex, although the game is rated M, but that's mostly for...
For violence. Yeah.
And if you want good story involving, like, you know, lots of time travel and, like, you know...
Yeah.
And, like... And the, like, really bad things that can happen when you mess with time travel.
And, like, so, are those, like, all... I always say, like, when you post pictures of it, stuff like these boxed games, is there no, like, digital way to get these typically? Or are you, like, buying or importing boxed games from Japan?
Oh, the thing is that, they are actually they're actually, like, three publishers here in the U.S. who actually localize these games.
Okay.
Which actually the versions that were sold here, we actually, those are actually made just for us because, those games actually can't be sold in Japan as the ones that, I mean, like, in the form that we get here, mostly because, in the U.S., since we have no laws against it, the games here can be shipped, like, you know, the games can be shipped without any form of, like, you know, cuts or censorship or anything. Whereas in Japan, games have to be constantly censored.
So that's the weird difference between Japan and the U.S. is Japan, this stuff is, like, really widespread but censored. And then U.S., it's, like, really niche and no one really talks about it, but it is uncensored.
Yes.
That's really weird but interesting. I guess because we never really had a need to put censorship in because of all the social censorship we already have. That's interesting. All right. Well, Stephen, we have like not even talked about what we played.
I have turned this into nothing but Japanese games.
We got Ni No Kuni, which was a Japanese game.
Yes.
But Cameron's gone, so this has gone dark.
This episode is now my podcast. I am king of this podcast.
We democratically vote you.
Oh, man. What have we been playing?
We played an adventure game on the Nintendo Entertainment System. I almost called it Night Trap.
That's a birthday game. Play the jingle.
I forgot the jingle.
Just copy and paste it.
Okay. I'm never going to remember to do that.
Write it down in your notes. I don't know.
Well, okay, then I have to give me a second to write it down.
So, how's
okay,
the weather?
So anyway, we played a game on the Nintendo Entertainment System. It was an adventure game where you're like this detective noir superhero man.
Nightshade.
It's a birthday game. I got it for my birthday. And everything kills you. Zachary, do you know about Nightshade?
I do know about it.
So you know that everything kills you?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. I don't know how to play it.
We're having a little bit of trouble.
Right. You might want to watch the JonTron playthrough of it, because he actually does kind of go into how one plays that game. And I actually think that like he actually does get through most of it. So
okay,
the writing is awesome in this game.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
It's super funny. And it basically feels like the writer was given this finished product and said, just make the text now.
Yeah.
And he just got to fill in whatever he wanted.
Just yeah.
I really like the idea of how you get thrown in elaborate traps when you die, instead of just having to start over. You know, you have a timer ticking and you have to figure out how to get out of the sticky Inspector Gadget situation. The only problem is it's really obtuse sometimes to know how to get out of these situations.
Oh my gosh, we're stuck on the one right now with like the 5-ton weight and a rat.
There's a 5-ton weight over our heads, lowering, and a rat. That is
I realized,
all...
Stephen, we were trying to get the rat to cut the rope, and that would have just dropped the weight on our heads.
We were not thinking.
We were just like, rat, rope, go, cut.
But there's a weight, there's a rat. That's all you can interact with. And as far as I know, you don't need to use items to beat those rooms. So what can you really do to a rat? He wouldn't talk to us.
No, he was snubbing us.
He was a mute rat.
Oh, gosh. But yeah, so we played that. We played Ni No Kuni. I think that's all we played together.
Really? That's it?
I think.
We played 1080 Avalanche.
Yes.
It's a birthday game. I got it for my birthday.
Yes, we did. Did we not? We just talked about that to Cameron, and assumed we'd be talking about it the whole podcast.
Yeah.
Because we think SSX3 is better than 1080 Avalanche, and he got so mad at us.
I was a little, what's the word, inflammatory, maybe, with my statements. Basically just yelling definitively that SSX3 is better than 1080 Avalanche in every way. I don't feel bad about it because I'm so right. It's the truth.
Like, I guess, and that's, I mean, because, like, as far as, like, the, as far as the, like, amount of content goes, most definitely. As far as, I guess, like, you know, the visuals and the style, like, you know, that's up to, like, to what you like, but I guess, like, for me, I've always really preferred, I've always liked, I've always liked the 1080, series more, is because, like, there is just a sense of speed there that I don't get in other snowboarding games.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's the streaking lines, like, that and the fact that it feels like a classic Sega arcade game.
Right.
Even though it has a very Tony Hawk feel to it as well.
Yeah, I get that. And yeah, like with the tricks and stuff. But the thing about SSX3 is it's so extremely smooth. Yeah. Like, the frame rate is smooth. The tricks are free flowing and smooth. You can go down the whole mountain without any loading times. It's just such a smooth, expertly crafted game.
Yeah.
That said, 1080 is a fun game. I like it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It just is so similar that it just made us want to go play SSX.
Yeah, I will bear you no ill will over that opinion. Like, you know, I actually totally get it. It's just that, you know, it's just, I guess, comes down to, like, you know, with me, with Handy, I think that the speed as well as, like, I guess, like, I just also, like, really like the hazard levels in that game.
Yeah.
That I think, like, you know, no other snowboarding game has ever, like, even come close to matching, like, because, like, you know, the most, like, it's like the hazards in the most, like, recent SSX game, like, were actually kind of lame compared to just how cool all the avalanches are. And so, I mean...
That's true. I mean, the game was named after avalanches, so that was one of the big things it had going. I'll agree with that.
Which, I mean, I would actually love it if they actually, like, you know, came back and made a, like, you know, new one with, like, you know, more courses and stuff, but I don't see it happening in the same vein that I don't see a new wave race happening anytime soon either.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I don't even see them going back to SSX again. I don't think they did well enough for them.
But that game was so awesome, though. I wish they could follow it up.
Yep.
But it was just a very warm, fuzzy feeling when we realized there was a hyper-compressed music video of an early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that they actually,
That was just...
That they actually made that little thing where they put in the music video to help.
Yep. I was really happy that it had that Yellowfinger song as well, Good Times. That was also an SSX 3.
Yeah, and that's when we're like, okay, we can't take it anymore. We have to play SSX 3.
Sorry. Yep. Yep, Finger 11. I may have said something different. I don't remember.
Oh.
Let's see here.
We played...
What else have we played?
Oh,
is that it?
Well, no, we... Like, what do we play around the time of 1080? If we haven't talked about that, then...
Oh, you're right. We played Plock.
It's a birthday game. It's a birthday game. I got it for my birthday. Plock is...
I vaguely know that name. From somewhere.
It's the Tim Fallon soundtrack, awesome blues harmonica game.
I don't think he knows
that
Tim Fallon.
Tells me absolutely nothing.
Then go look at the Plock title screen song, and that's everything you need to know about the game. Don't actually buy it, just listen to that song.
It's not a great game.
No, it's kind of a dumb game, but also kind of fun.
Oh, that is that cover art is something else.
Oh, yeah, we couldn't figure out what Plock was. I thought maybe he was a ghost, bird.
He looks very angry.
Yeah, he is extremely angry in the game.
That's so he's true. Like, he's this plucky little dude, and he's like, oh no, the fleas have invaded my island and stolen all my flags. I'm going to beat them down one by one.
He's like really mad. He's just seriously upset about what is going on.
He's really, really upset. But I can understand. What if all your flags were taken? What would you do?
I would probably.
I mean, assuming you don't
care quite that much.
You can't call the police because you're on Plock Island.
I mean, I don't have flags that I care about. It's hard to relate.
Well, imagine if all of your video games were flags.
Then I'd be sad that
they're
flags.
And then a bunch of fleas.
I wouldn't care that they take them because I'm already sad that my video games are flags.
Okay, imagine all your flags were video games.
Okay.
Imagine you're making an RPG Maker 2 game, and fleas come in and take all of your flags away.
Okay, then I'd be mad. Oh, man.
So we didn't beat that, but it was fun.
No. Man, there was something else we played. We talked about the Fragile Dreams.
Fragile Dreams. Yeah, we talked about that. Well, just go by platform. Xbox.
No, wait, I can get a full list of our games here. One second.
What did we play on Xbox?
We didn't play anything yet. That's obscure.
Oh.
Let's see here. Oh, Tulip!
It's a birthday game. It's a birthday game. I got it for my birthday.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, man. Tulip.
What
about Tulip? How do you like all them kisses?
didn't get very many. We were bad at the
best
game.
Romance in a game.
Yes, best romance to where you see a girl and your first thought is that, like, you know, I must give her a kiss, and then you're, and then the entire game is just based around you giving her a kiss.
And of course, you go back. Our father was very supportive of the idea.
Surprisingly so. He has good advice, our father.
Yep. That game is
I don't like
weird.
Tulip.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
The game is well known in many circles as being one of the strangest games on the PS2.
This isn't news, but that game is weird.
I think it's the strangest, most unsettling game I've ever played.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there are a lot of really weird things in that game, like, because, like, you know, like, as you, like, you know, make your way through it, and as you, like, meet more characters, you realize that, like, everything is just a little off in this town.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
For sure.
And not, like, you're used to Japanese games being, you know, quirky, and everything's kind of silly or crazy, Katamari, but this is more like, that felt wrong. There's something...
Yeah.
Something... Just how, like, the teachers are, like, discussing, like, their social security plans and how they can't pay rent. It's just, why are you...
Why is this phone pole worried about rent and...
I don't know. And it's just so...
Angst.
Brian is looking through the manual, and the ways you had to beat that game would be impossible to
it's
ever
like, try
discover.
Try to open the stove. It does not open. Open it 7 more times. It will open. It's
and
like,
that's how you
how
get
is
to the next
to know
part
that without
the
looking
game?
At the manual?
I don't know. It's a scary, scary game that I don't like. That's what it is.
Yeah, so... We've been playing that. The only thing I've really been playing outside of that is I've been playing a lot of Shogun 2 Total War game.
I thought you were playing Rome 2.
No, I was playing Shogun now. You know that.
But you said the only game you've been playing.
Oh, you said thought. It sounded like it was a question. You're right. I played a little bit of Rome 2 and then realized I never gave Shogun enough time and went back to Shogun.
Oh, yeah, great. So are you a Japanese conqueror now?
I wouldn't say I'm a conqueror. I'm more of a guy who's barely not getting conquered.
More like a not-queror.
Wow.
Conqueror.
Yeah.
No.
I'm that.
Nope.
Totally. But yeah, that's... It's pretty... I'm on, like, hard and already playing as a faction who has, like, a very weak starting point. So I'm just being attacked from all sides and barely holding off. But man, that game, the defenders have a huge advantage. Like, if you're defending a town, it is seriously, like... More than, I think more than Rome, but I maybe not more than Rome. I'd have to think. There aren't as many siege weapons, it seems like. At least at this stage in the game. And even very, very early towns in Rome typically don't have walls built around them. Especially not huge stone walls. But all of these towns are like built on hills with just little short walls that even the smallest towns have. And that basically means that invaders need to climb in through the windows of these short walls.
Oh, cool.
And you can start with archers at these protected walls and just fire down on the enemies rapidly as they're coming up. And then right when they're about to broach the walls with their little units climbing, you can move swordsmen up. And they're like trying to jump in 1 to 10 at a time. And you have your whole like unit up there fighting them off. So it is so hard for them to really purchase a foothold inside your walls that... As a defender, you just have such a massive advantage over the attacking army. Like, I tried attacking a place, and I had quite a bit bigger of an army, and I'm like, they're just AI, and so far I've been able to roll over them, and I tried it, and I just got completely buffeted and could not get in.
Hmm.
And then I just decided to wait outside and starve them out, met them on the field, and absolutely decimated them. So, like, the advantage you get from being behind walls is very substantial, and that is saving my life multiple times. Like, on the same turn, I had 2 different armies attack that were, like, 30% bigger than what my defending force was, and both times I attacked them without even being able to reinforce my troops between it.
So, the tactics are pretty different from Rome.
Yes. Mainly because even early game cities have very good defenses.
Okay, I see.
So, you can't be as aggressive with as few forces. You have to be a little bit more... you are safer at home, but then other people are as well. So
okay.
It's interesting that way.
Is it like user friendly? Can I start with that game?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
I would still read the thing about Total War games is they don't do a great job of explaining what They explain what things are, but not why things are. So I'm going to some, for example, they would tell you what something does, but you don't really get how to play it. Like, they need to give you more play tips. For example, I would always build way too many units, and units are the thing that causes upkeep in this game. Like, there isn't upkeep for buildings in this. It is just, you are making money from 50 different sources. You're spending money on your army. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to just, you know, keep building stuff and build beyond your means and say, I'm losing money now. Why is that happening? And you don't really get, it's just the idea that you have too many units. You need to restrain and only build to maybe 2/3 of your money is being spent every turn on units. And I would not do that. And then you will quickly run into economic woes, and you have to realize, don't just build as many units as your towns can produce every turn, or as many as you can afford every turn.
Yeah.
You have to really keep an eye on the upkeep. So that's just one thing they don't really tell you explicitly, and then they won't really tell you, like, what to do with food and so on. So, like, there are all these systems that you know the technical know-how of, but they're not telling you exactly how to utilize them. So I've been reading, you know, some people who have put together tips and so on. It's helped me to get a much better feel for how I should be playing it.
Kind of reminds me of fighting games, how you can learn how to do all the moves, but you don't know why or when to use them.
Right. So something fun that we might be able to do is, once I kind of get a handle myself on really how to play these games, we could even in Rome 2 or Shogun 2 do a co-op campaign.
Oh yeah. You're right. Both of those do have co-op.
So I would suggest, once I get a handle on how to play this and maybe beat a campaign, we could try a co-op campaign of Shogun 2 sometime.
Sure. Someday when we have like an afternoon or a weekend or a fortnight.
Roughly. Yeah. So, yeah, that's been neat. I feel like I'm going to start getting a little better handle on how to play those games. In Rome, I kind of just smashed into people a lot. You can be very aggressive in that game.
You were very aggressive in that game.
I was extremely aggressive in Rome, yes.
Zachary and I are peacekeepers of the...
I'm playing as the faction that gets religion benefits from being Buddhist and can make better warrior monks. Which is pretty cool, but I'm also, like, have a very small territory that is being attacked from all sides, so they have a very difficult starting position.
Well, I wish you luck with more of your conquests, except that it's taking time away from playing, I don't know, whatever the heck we're going to play, Obscure.
Obscure? Yeah, I know.
Maybe that's okay, though.
Yeah. Apparently, my goal is to eventually become Shogun, but I'm very far away from doing that.
Okay.
So that's what I've been doing. I don't think you've been playing anything on your own time.
Except World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I've been playing a bit of Hearthstone, but both of those are pretty usual. All right. Even my Western strategy game was about Japan.
Yep.
What have you done to this podcast, Zachary? You made it better.
Stop playing Rome.
Exactly. I have made this podcast way better. And we shall now get more listeners due to all of the fans of Japanese games out there.
And I'm going to start calling Zachary San again, because it's my favorite name for him.
Yeah, that's great.
Ariguto, Zachary San.
Kamigawa. All right,
I think we're hurting him. Hey, we should probably stop this podcast. We're past the hour mark.
Well, there's no one here to get grumpy.
I'm grumpy.
All right. Thank you, Stephen, for being grumpy.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Zach, for coming and talking and being the expert on all things we talked about.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is great. I look forward to it not being this way next week.
Cameron will be back. It'll be back to whatever we talk about when Cameron is here.
Yeah. Starcraft more or something. Arguments.
Oh, man, I need to play StarCraft. Oh, is that Cameron talking to me about StarCraft? No, darn. All right, and that'll be it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Check us out on thedbcast.com or on Twitter at thedbcast. I am Lord Meldor on Twitter. Stephen is StephenKelly180. Zachary is Faison Masher, and this show is a show of the Whales or Whales Network. Go to whalesorwhales.com for more shows like this with people like us. And with all that out of the way, everybody...
Have a week.
Oh my gosh, what did you just do, Steven?
I ripped the hosting reins from your fingers of iron will.
Have a week. Boom. It wasn't official until I did it. Yeah.